God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world to remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Got a series of emails about Christian nationalism, and sort of interesting because they seem to be all coming from a position of what we would call concern trolling in the business. Concern trolling is, and you might be familiar with the phrase, is where someone really intends to criticize you or to call you out, but they do this in a way that they're very, very concerned. I'll try to get to some of these today just because they're coming in a pattern and seem to be having me, or the intent seems to be for me to criticize the practice of faith within religion and leaning on the founders. And it's just a, sort of an interesting construct. There are all sorts of efforts to, well, coax people into speaking untruths. Some of them are paid. We know about Kamala Harris and the team that runs her, paying rappers and influencers to endorse the campaign. At least we've seen signs of that and some, I think, evidence. It's pretty solid. We know, of course, about the Mockingbird media and their willingness to do anything they can to uphold leftist points of view. But what if there was something we could do about that? Literally something we could do. I don't think God spends a microsecond worrying about this election. I don't think he does. I mean, he's made the decisions. He has already put people in positions where he wants them. He knows how things end. His focus, as near as I can tell in the Bible, has never been this world. It's been to tell us to be in it, but not of it. His focus appears to be building the kingdom of God and asking us, in fact, telling us, to allow him to work through us to bring people into it. And yet God is truth. In him there is no darkness. He's pure light, no darkness at all. So I cannot believe that God likes to see the manipulative media approach that we're watching. Later this week, we're going to talk about a coordinated effort to rebrand Kamala Harris's laugh. It is clearly coordinated. It's clearly step by step. It's clearly being marketed through the Mockingbird media. And it's one specific word they've chosen to rebrand her laugh. I don't mean to be cruel in the way of people speaking or their affectations. I mean to be analytical. Her laugh is a defensive weapon. Sometimes it's an offensive weapon. It's a cackle. It's meant to put people off. It's meant to delegitimize conversations. There's all sorts of ways the media is colluding. This is a way that President Trump could go at them. And I'm not talking about revenge. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. I'm talking about justice. The media is colluding to rebrand Kamala's laugh. They colluded to pretend that Joe Biden was of crisp mind. They colluded pretending that Joe Biden made the decision to stand down out of patriotism. Biden's now admitted he was pressured. Nancy Pelosi has now admitted she pressured him. It will come out, of course, that they threatened the 25th Amendment. I think Justice Seymour Hersh said they did. So what if there was a way for us to go after the media on a legal basis? I mean, I don't want to set a precedent for the Mockingbird media being gone after on First Amendment grounds, because here we are on a Christian radio network, obviously leaning on our First Amendment rights granted us first by God, recognized by government. So I don't want to go after them in terms of thought policing or language policing, but what about collusion? They're limiting choice in the marketplace. They really are. Many voters in the last election didn't have the ability to go find out that Hunter Biden is a walking, talking, breathing national security nightmare. They're now admitting this. Even the Mockingbird media is running stories about it. Special investigator has said, yeah, there's evidence that Hunter Biden was under the pay of a foreign country, but he was worried about it. Therefore, we're not going to charge him. See, that's a defense. When you're worried about something, you don't get charged. I think we could press collusion charges. colluding to limit consumer choice in media is collusion. Done by big companies, it's antitrust level collusion. Here's an example. Politico ran a headline this weekend. We received internal Trump documents from Robert. The campaign confirmed it was hacked. The campaign, this is the Trump campaign, suggested Iran was to blame. Politico was not independently verified the identity of the hacker or their motives. Microsoft's security team has since said it was Iran. And they are talking about a national political leader, probably, obviously, President Trump. So this apparently happened, for real. The media colluded to pretend that Donald Trump orchestrated the hacking of the DNC emails, which in all likelihood were not hacked. In all likelihood, they were taken off premises by Seth Rich, who in all likelihood was murdered for having done that. In all likelihood, it was not a robbery. It's not regular to shoot your robbery victim in the back and then not go take the phones, cell phone, credit cards, and cash. The robber didn't take that stuff from Seth Rich. There is no reason to shoot a guy in the back and then walk away having not taken the stuff. So the media colluded. Trump had Putin hack the DNC. That is limiting consumer choice in the marketplace. The DOJ under President Trump should be able to go after them for that. And just the discovery process on its own would be interesting. The lies are so thick this campaign season, with Kamala Harris, now figurehead VP, wanting to get to pretend to be president as a figurehead. Figurehead VP Kamala Harris's regime created new powers for the IRS to tax tips. Now, Kamala Harris's teleprompter has plagiarized Donald Trump's plan to stop taxing tips.
Because when I get to office, we are going to not charge taxes on tips, people making tips.
For service and hospitality workers.
Wow, that's brave to come out and steal your opponent's position. Pardon me. The collusion charge against the Mockingbird Media extends. Are you going to call this out? Fact of the matter is this, that Kamala Harris, and we were told, she was the last person in the room on really important decisions with the figurehead. It was the figurehead Biden and his team, or the people who run him, to be more accurate, who created new powers for the IRS to track tips. So the IRS could tax tips. Now you have Kamala Harris coming out and saying she doesn't want to tax tips. Well, stop then. Why don't you stop? Do it now. Why wait for the campaign? If we were to go at the Mockingbird Media for collusion, antitrust-like, we would go and investigate who's causing them to do this. We would go ask for, and hopefully get, all email communications between official government agencies and the media. Do you really think they've only used Twitter for that? And Facebook? And the other social media properties? You really think so? Why would they stop? Why would they stop at that? They've been colluding for a long, long time. Hillary Clinton, and yeah, pause and pray for the Clintons. Oh, I hate this part of the show. It's so hard for me. I found myself on a roll. I have to stop and remind myself, these are spiritual victims, spiritual captives. I have to pray for Hillary Clinton. So do you. That's hard. Can we admit that, please? Sorry for the pattern interrupt. Right here in the monologue, talking about praying for Hillary Clinton. Well, I can. I can't love doing it, but I can do it. There's a nickname that Hillary Clinton tried to confront for Tim Walz. Tim Walz is the most perverse, and I mean that. I'm not trying to be colorful. He's perverse. Governor in the country. He's the guy who put tampons in the boys' bathrooms for grades 4 through 12. So a nickname has stuck to him. It even made it on Fox News. The nickname is Tampon Tim. Hillary Clinton tried to jump into this. She or someone on her staff, and I think this was Hillary, wrote, "How nice of the Trump camp to publicize Governor Tim Walz's compassionate and common sense policy of providing free menstrual products to students in Minnesota public schools. Let's do this elsewhere." Probably she wrote everywhere. Now, come to think of it, actually, there's an image attached to this, so it was probably not Hillary who posted this. She had to turn off her replies. If you don't use Twitter or X, the only reason you turn off replies is because you don't like the replies you're getting. In this case, Hillary Clinton was getting utterly, utterly called out. It's not the problem that these are free. A, they're not. They're given by government. Therefore, they're provided by the taxpayer. It's that they're being given to boys, which is a lie. No boy can menstruate. No boy has ever had a period. No boy ever will. In collusion, we can go look between the Mockingbird media. If we were go back and charge them with collusion, antitrust style, they created a lack of choice in the marketplace of ideas where they pretended that kids are born in the wrong body. They did that for 6 to 8 years, unchallenged. It was purposeful that they hid the stories of detransitioners. That's collusion. That had an economic impact. It had a societal impact. It violated the public trust. It is colluding, just as if Apple got together with Google and said, hey, let's agree to release the same phones. Let's save ourselves some money. Let's agree on the same hardware and pricing schemes. That would be illegal. That would be antitrust. And Google just lost an antitrust case, although not on that level. We can do this with the Mockingbird media, and we should. CNN and one of their programs had a retired command sergeant on the program talking about Tim Walz and his lies about being in combat. Retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Julin confirms that Tim Walz went around him to avoid going into Iraq.
I do want to ask this question quickly, Sergeant Major, and I appreciate your time. But is your concern about the manner in which he did not speak to you or his decision to retire, which he, as we've talked about, he would have been entitled to do? Which causes the most concern? Because that is the focus that so many people are wondering about, whether he has done something wrong in service or done something personally to offend you.
He did something wrong in service. As I stated before, he knew the policies and procedures and how we go to leadership and address issues or discuss issues and concerns out there. Again, backing up, he had told me, no, I'm going forward. We're going to go with the battalion and go from there. So I'm under the believing, he told me he was going forward. I'm underneath that believing that he's going forward. He went around me, which he should have addressed it with me so we could help do some things out there.
Sergeant Major, this was really...
So she seems stunned. Her name is Laura Coates, a host with CNN. And this retired command sergeant, Doug Julin, confirms that Tim Walz had been notified and was waiting to receive orders to move forward into Iraq.
Excuse me, I don't want to cut you off, sir. Finish your point, please, Sergeant Major.
He went around me, and the fact is that this possibility, he probably would have probably known it's too late, you're going forward. Because we had already received our notification of sourcing. And there's one other little point out there that people say, well, he hadn't been notified yet. Yes, he had been notified. Now, there's another step out there that is what's called stop loss. 90 days prior to the actual deployment, we received our orders. And at that time is what's called stop loss, where if you're in a position, you're going forward irregardless, unless there's some really major or process that gets you out from not going on the deployment itself. So there's that window of opportunity. And people say, we never knew he was going forward. Yeah, he knew he was going forward. Had he gotten his orders yet? No, at that time he had not. As far as being a command sergeant major, he, as soon as he retired, or I'm going to go with the term retired, which he did, and he was eligible after 20 years to get a full retirement. He was taken out of the academy at that time.
It appears that he wanted to avoid combat. Some reasonable people don't want to be shot at. But then that same reasonable person should not enter the public sphere and leave any confusion as to whether they fought. Tim Walz has purposely allowed that confusion to exist and has in fact talked about carrying weapons into battles. He's a liar. That's the least of our concerns with a man with this many perverse ideas. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Mentioned earlier a series of emails I'm getting. They appear to be concern trolling. And back in the day, when I filled in for Rush Limbaugh, God rest Maha, he used to use the phrase seminar callers. And there really are such things. There really are, and I don't know how much it happens these days because there's so few phone calls and lots of talk radio, but there really were seminar callers. And they had little scripts, and you could spot them pretty quickly when they would get on the phone. And they would call, and their job was to talk to you. And it would often begin with, I'm a lifelong Republican. I've voted a Republican my whole life. However, it would be something along the lines of, they tried this with President Trump a lot. However, I am not going to vote for Trump again. When I did hear phone calls. So I'm getting what might be seminar emails. This is largely going to my podcast. That's thetoddhermanshow.com. And getting some at my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. But let me give you an example and listen to how most of these are almost exactly the same email. Dear Todd, I love all your work. I'm concerned we're about to lose another election because of Christian nationalism. You have a big audience. Please, please let people know we Republicans do not favor Christian nationalism. Julie, Pennsylvania. This one. Dear Mr. Herman, I love all your podcasts. I'm worried the GOP is about to lose another election because of Christian nationalism. You have a large audience. Please, all caps, let people know we Republicans do not favor Christian nationalism. Okay. And that, by the way, is from Doug from Montana. So we have first name only, state only, and the verbiage is almost exactly the same with just a few words changed. Here is an email that is actually sincere about this topic. I know that because this person has watched and or listened to my work for years, and I've met him in person. His name is Tyler. Hi, Todd. I'm getting a lot of pushback from my leftist friends about so-called Christian nationalism as they define it. I tell them that it does not exist as they define it, and will ask them to provide real-world examples of it, which, of course, they cannot do without referring to other leftists being critical of it. However, it occurs to me that how you speak about the necessity of incorporating our faith into our politics, that could be a view which, for lack of more accurate terminology, could be called Christian nationalism. I think it would be edifying for your listeners if you spent some time on this topic, both addressing the falsity of the leftist definition of Christian nationalism, but also how you see our faith manifest in politics and government without morphing into theocratic rule. God be with you in all you do in Christ, Tyler. So two, I think, seminar emails, one sincere email. So let's talk about Christian nationalism for just a second. What is it? From the leftist point of view, it's the sneaky, sneaky Donald Trump who intends to be installed as president and then make women stay home and have babies and outlaw people loving who they love, even though that's not the biblical definition of love. And I'm not just talking about active same-sex relationships. I'm talking about love as defined in the Bible is a very different thing than the world defines it. President Trump's going to outlaw that. He's going to get in and he's going to make being so-called transgender illegal. How he would do that, make it illegal to be confused about your sex, don't know. All of this is because of Christian nationalism. President Trump's going to get into office, they say, and track down same-sex attracted people and have them locked up. He's going to go into the schools, and President Trump's going to say, you cannot say the word gay in a public school. You cannot acknowledge that people are same-sex attracted. You have to erase them from history. This is what they say he's going to do because it's what Jesus would do. Give me the example in the Bible of Jesus Christ seeking one shred of political power. One. Just one example. And it is not the case that the Lord Jesus didn't have many, many opportunities to seek political power. Do you think for a second that we didn't have, Jesus didn't face people, Pharisees, Sadducees coming to him saying, Rabbi, let's not divide the Jewish state. Rabbi, come in. Let's talk. Let's reason together. You're teaching some things that are making us appear bad, but we don't disagree that much, Rabbi. Come in, we'll break bread. Come into our fine home. We can introduce you to Rome. You can make changes there. There's not a single example of Jesus taking them up on that. I mean, there's also not an example of him being asked to do that. But you think he couldn't have arranged it? He was and is God Almighty. The point about Christian nationalism is this. It can't exist. If you did elect a solid, Bible-believing, strict Christian, and that solid, Bible-believing, strict Christian came in with a Congress that was 80% Bible-believing, strict Christian, and a Senate that was the same, and a Supreme Court that was, say, three-fourths strict Bible-believing Christian, and they came in into power, and they said, the religion of the United States will be Christianity. Everyone will convert. That's self-canceling. It's no longer Christian. It just canceled out. So it wouldn't be Christian nationalism. It would be something, but it wouldn't be Christian nationalism. How could I say that? Wouldn't God have willed those people into power? Yes. God would have allowed it. Well, then how would it not be godly? How would it not be Christian to say everyone must convert? Because Jesus never did it. Not once. Now, eventually, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And some of the people who have those knees and tongues will be headed to the lake of fire. They'll confess, but it will be too late. The confession had to happen before that. There's not an instance in the Bible where Jesus forced a human to recognize who he was and is. He cast demons out of people. He forced them to leave. Now, something fascinating about this fear of a Christian theocracy. Notice this. The same people who fear a Christian theocracy are also welcoming Islam into our country. Now, it's not the welcome of the faith. They welcome that, but that's on accident. They're welcoming people in who practice Islam with no intent to change. Islam always carries with it Sharia law. Sharia law has at its core, convert or die. Now, they're not exactly coming into America and say convert or die yet. But Muhammad gave them the model. When you are low in numbers, you act peaceful until you're high in numbers, and then you're no longer peaceful. Now you use the sword, and then you force people to pretend to convert. No one's really converting at the tip of a sword. They're just trying to preserve their life because they don't understand life after death, life eternal, is available in Jesus Christ. Somehow, the same people who fear a Christian theocracy cheer the makings of a Muslim theocracy in states like Minnesota, where Tim Walz is dictator, in countries like the UK. There is a storm brewing in the UK. There are entire areas of cities that are completely Muslim. And this past weekend, there were incidents of Muslim gangs seeking out white people in their neighborhoods. Not that you can't be white and Muslim, but in these cases, these are also really ethnic neighborhoods. The citizens of the UK have caught on to something. These newcomers who practice Sharia law to the degree that they can in that country of the UK, they have special privileges. They can rape 12-year-old girls and get put on probation for 18 months. Whereas if you say something on Facebook and something irresponsible, something stupid and incendiary, you can get 20 years in prison. Okay? I'm not kidding. A man in the UK has been sentenced to 20 months, pardon me. A man in the UK has been sentenced to 20 months in prison for social media postings encouraging vandalism.
You took to social media in order to encourage others towards participation in the attacks upon the hotel. As is recognised on your behalf, this offence is so serious that an immediate custodial sentence is unavoidable. Would you stand, please? The sentence that I pass has been reduced by one third to reflect your guilty plea. The sentence is one of 20 months imprisonment. You will serve up to one half of your sentence in custody, before you are released in on license. If you fail to abide by the conditions of your license, you can be returned to prison to serve some or all of the remainder of the custodial term. The victim surcharge will apply, and I will make a collection order.
The victim surcharge. They're going to take money from him as well. Now, what he said was awful. It was irresponsible. It was incendiary. He told people that all men should go break windows at this hotel. And he used an expletive. Another young man, age of 26, did the same thing. Demanded people go break windows and break this hotel. Why the hotel? Because against the wishes of the UK's public, against voters, against the will of people who have lived in the UK for generations and generations, they're creating Muslim-only cities. They pretend that's not the case, but it is. They continue to give these newcomers, as we're to call them, special privileges, such as not having to follow the law, such as lighter sentences, such as this. The government helping to celebrate Islam, encouraging it. We'll talk about this tomorrow, but you, and I'll give you this, Rowan Atkinson's an actor in the UK, very, very famous guy. He's called to fact that people have been sent to jail for calling a police horse, for saying of a police horse, it's gay. Put in jail for that. But not the newcomers. The Lord is pro-free speech. He's pro-accountability. It would not be Christian nationalism in the UK to say, no, we're not going to have anything like Sharia law. No, we're not going to give over entire cities to the Muslim faith, with all, which always brings with it Sharia law. There's always tidy things you can do when you compare, contrast and compare. There is a guy who's now a member of parliament. His name is Lauren Edwards. He had written on, this was the 20th of June, 2009. I want these blanking Estonian retards out of my flat now. Pardon me, Lauren is a woman. I want these blanking Estonian retards out of my flat now. That's hate speech. That's punishable by prison. But Lauren is an MP, so she got to write this. I've recently been made aware of a small number of tweets I posted on Twitter from over a decade ago, which I now deeply regret. They were a significant error of judgment on my part. I apologize wholeheartedly. Since becoming a local councillor and more recently an MP, I've seen firsthand the importance of bringing communities together and working with tolerance towards our neighbors. Huh. I wonder if the man and men who encouraged acts of violence against a building were given a chance to apologize. It's not just encouraging violence that's this. Woman arrested in connection with inaccurate social media post. Officers from the Cheshire Police have arrested a woman in relation to social media posts containing inaccurate information about the identity of the attacker in the Southport murders. She was wrong. They didn't say lie. She was wrong. And she's been arrested. We are arresting people in this country for speech too. Please don't pretend it's not happening here. Pro-lifers are going to prison for nothing more than speech. They didn't push people away from abortion clinics. They didn't threaten people. They prayed and they sat. And they're going to prison. In the UK, Metropolitan Police Chief Mark Rowley has just threatened to extradite and imprison American citizens over online posts.
We will throw the full force of the law at people. And whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you.
Talk to me about that, because we have seen some high profile figures whipping up the hatred. You talked about it in there with the officers, in fact, about this being added to by online commentary. I mean, I'm even thinking of the likes of Elon Musk getting involved. What are you considering when it comes to dealing with people who are whipping up this kind of behaviour from behind a keyboard and maybe in a different country?
Being a keyboard warrior does not make you safe from the law. You can be guilty of offences of incitement, of stirring up racial hatred, there are numerous terrorist offences regarding the sort of publishing of material. All of those offences are in play if people are provoking hatred and violence on the streets, and we will come after those individuals just as we will physically confront on the streets the thugs and the yobs who are taking, who are causing the problems for communities.
Huh. He seems to suggest there that all of these things are in play. Is he really suggesting extraditing Elon Musk or someone with far less money, me? Please do. I would count it an honor. The Lord Jesus said that we are to count it to our credit when the world says horrible things about us, when the world criticizes us for they hated him first. Now, I don't want to cause any hatred for migrants, illegal or otherwise. That's why I constantly remind us we cannot hate our neighbors or our enemies. But I will not shy away from the fact that the UK is committing suicide by participating in a cultural revolution that's designed to tear that country apart and, it seems, to turn it over into the hands of Sharia law by the pure force of massive migration. We'll come back with another email, this on the topic of me changing my policy about how I refer to Kamala Harris. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Last week, I made the decision after getting two emails and then a social media post taking me to task, in a friendly sense, for calling Kamala Harris Cammy. I did that because she's not a serious person. She has the attitude and affectations of a teen girl, and I think the name Cammy was more approximate to who she actually is, which is no one. No one mature, no one with gravitas. But listeners had criticized me on biblical grounds, were to at least show respect. So I created a compromise, and that compromise is I will call her figurehead Kamala Harris because she's not running this campaign. She's being installed. She was installed as the nominee. There was no vote of the grassroots. She is officially a figurehead installed by no votes. That would make her a figurehead president. And it's clear that there are policies around Kamala Harris that she had nothing to do with and doesn't care a whit about. It's clear from her behaviors, the fruits of her labors. And then I got this email after a very, very nice statement about this program, The Disciples View, that me and Randy put together and Jonathan helps us with, and a lot of people in this program. It's not just me. I'm just the one who does the talking and the mic and the story selection. This gentleman, whose name is Robert Trout, wrote, "Driving home from Florida vacation a couple of weeks ago, I listened to the entire week of A Disciple's View. Todd, I typically agree with everything you say. Calling Cammy is okay. Nothing disrespectful about it. Where I come from, the beautiful land of Texas, respect is earned. I'm sorry, she hasn't earned it. She's truly a joke. Figurehead Biden is a joke. They destroyed our sovereignty and our peace and our safety. That should never be taken lightly. To sum things up, we're out here. We love you, brother. Keep doing what you do. God is leading. We can tell. AFR, please never let this guy get away. Disciples View, my new favorite program. Robert Trout from Levon, Texas." Robert, I appreciate that. I appreciate the note. And obviously, I didn't see anything wrong with calling her Cammy either. And let's not divide the body of Christ. Jesus died once. He was beaten and scourged once. On a topic like this that is not a salvation issue, let's be willing to accommodate. It doesn't hurt my feelings to not say Cammy. It doesn't hurt my feelings to call her figurehead Kamala Harris or figurehead Harris, figurehead Kamala. And one of the people who had written to criticize me about this actually wrote back to say she's pleased with the compromise. I won't always do this on the program, probably very rarely. If it comes down to an issue where I have a firm belief, I'm not going to back off. Be polite about it. For instance, received some criticism around how I speak about the COVID injections. They are ruinous, disastrous, all too often deadly, and I fail to believe they were designed to be anything but that because of how they're designed. I won't back off of that position. It's too clear to me. That's not a salvation issue either, unless I was lying. I'm not lying. It's my opinion, and I'm happy to back it up. You can email me. Easiest way to do it is go to thetoddhermanshow.com, and there's a simple little easy-to-use email form there. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. This young woman is Ali Samarco. She calls herself a D.C. Democratic strategist and former host of America's Show. Ali misunderstands how families are created with babies born to a mother and father.
J.D. Vance just keeps getting weirder and weirder. Today, his plane landed on the same tarmac as Kamala Harris's, and instead of just minding his business, he decides to walk over to her, stalking her, in an attempt to ask her about something. And then, when the reporters question him about it, he says he's just checking out her plane. Ladies, we know the men like this, and they are creepy, and they should be stayed away from.
Huh. Oh, she's serious? No, she's engagement farming. That's what she's doing. She posted that to TikTok. It's called engagement farming. See, her misunderstanding is this. J.D. Vance is not the guy she described in her text next to that social media post. She said he's the creepy guy who follows you around in a bar all night but is afraid to talk to you. No, J.D. Vance is a married man. He wasn't afraid to talk to his wife, who happens to be an Indian American, like Kamala Harris is when it's convenient for her to be one, and other times she's black when it's more convenient to do that. They have children that the world would call mixed race as a result of the fact that J.D. Vance met a woman he was interested in. He pursued her by all measures in a Christian sense. They got married. They are of one flesh. That's not creepy and it's not stalking. Incidentally, J.D. Vance didn't even go try to talk to Kamala Harris. He was talking to the media, saying, since she won't talk to you, maybe you have some questions for me. It was a smart move. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Tim Walz has a duty to correct journalists who say he served in combat. Oddly, he always chooses to let people believe he did.
Congressman Tim Walz, also a member of the Armed Services Committee and Veterans Affairs, Democrat of Minnesota, highest ranking enlisted soldier ever to serve in Congress. Enlisted in the Army National Guard at 17 and retired 24 years later as Command Sergeant Major and served with his battalion at Operating Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan.
Yeah, he didn't do that part. Tim Walz has a responsibility to say, oh, wait, stop. Oh, no, I never served in combat. My friends did, but not me. He doesn't do that on purpose. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Here's Nancy Pelosi pretending Tim Walz served in combat. Then C-SPAN identified him as an Afghanistan veteran.
I want him to know how much we all appreciate his service to our country, whether it's in the classroom or on the battlefield. Congressman Tim Murphy. Congressman Tim Walz of Minnesota. I was thinking of his state.
Well, and then there's the drinking. False witness. Is it though? Actually, no. Having worked in Washington, D.C. for that period of time, I happen to know that Nancy Pelosi likes a drink. And there's nothing wrong with a drink or two. C-SPAN then identified Walz as an Afghanistan veteran, which means to everybody, combat. Tim Walz is a disgrace in every capacity. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
That was the Tower of Babylon on A Disciple's View.
These things are going to seem disconnected. They're not. Thing one. We are 1,100 Bibles short of meeting our goal for the Truth for Youth Bible Week. We could close that gap now. These Bibles will be given to young people ages 13 through 18 who take a pledge to hand them to a fellow young person. That is the way the Word of God spreads. The Word of God never returns void. You can close that gap with us today, and I'm asking you to do this. Go buy a Bible for them. Go to tfy.org, that's tfy.org, or call 844-530-8890. That was thing one. I said they're going to seem disconnected. This is thing two. I had a really neat surprise the other day when I went to train at the gym. For 4 years, I've trained with the same female coach. I've gotten to know her husband and not really know her kids. I have seen them on occasion and talked to them. And I'm a guy who likes to play with kids. I just love little kids. Consequently, I've had a conversation here or there with her son and daughter and played a little game with her son and daughter in the gym. Mom and dad usually right there. And this time, we went down to train at the park. I'm training for this thing coming up in September called Seal Fit, so I'm trying to be in the sun and uncomfortable and miserable as often as I possibly can, wearing these black, thick work pants and my black, thick boots. And I'm wearing a black shirt now. When I'm in California, I get the blessing of a white shirt. So I'm trying to be extra hot and extra uncomfortable. So coach took me down to the park to be on concrete and grass and be in uncomfortable circumstances. Walking there, we walked with her kids. She lost some childcare at the last second, brought the kids to the gym. So as I'm walking along carrying 53-pound kettlebells, and the penalty being, hey, if you put them down, you have to do exercises on the sidewalk, which is always uncomfortable. So I held on to them. Her little boy, who is 7, said, Mom, why does Todd have to carry those heavy weights? She said, because Todd is paying me to work him hard because he has a 50-hour workout coming up. 50 hours? That's more than a day. We all laughed, coach and I. And then the little boy said, where will you eat? I said, oh, they'll feed me. He goes, but dinner? Will you have dinner? Well, not really dinner, but I'll get to eat. Mama, we have to take Todd to dinner right now. Let's go here. Her daughter joined in. Yeah, let's have dinner. Well, they wanted a tasty treat, sure. Coach said, are you really concerned Todd's not going to eat? Yeah. He goes, hey, let me carry one of those for you. Those are heavy. I said, no, buddy, I got to carry these. Your mom's paying me. This is what she tells me to do. He showed me. He goes, I can pick up my mom. You can? He picked her up, and coach laughed, and he laughed. We got down to the workout, and after doing some stuff, gymnastics on the kids' play set, which is really, really fun, really kind of hard gymnastics, by the way. While I was doing that, her son was saying, go, Todd, go, Todd, go, Todd. Went to the basketball courts, which are black, planked and did push-ups and bear crawls and more planking and more push-ups and more bear crawls and overhead walking holds with the kettlebells. Every step of the way, little boy going, go, Todd, go, Todd, go, Todd. When I was getting ready to do the bear crawls, her little boy said, I see glass, Mama. There's glass on the court. Todd will cut his hand. He went in front of me, kicking the glass out of the way with his little shoe. All the while, coach's daughter sat off reading a book. She's a quiet kid, really neat kid. At the end of the workout, we were walking back. I was carrying the kettlebells. She gave the kids a choice. They could sprint together to the fountain for their workout, or they could walk together. Well, the little boy took off for the fountain. Little girl stayed behind. Coach said, okay, to her daughter, your choice, you can go get your brother or you can walk a little bit with Todd. So she and I walked together. I just asked her, do you like being a big sister? She goes, yeah, I do. Well, sometimes it's hard. He's rambunctious. I said, yes, he is. And I think that you're a very good big sister. I really try. I really try. My mom made you do hard things today. Your mom's a great coach. We got back to the gym. Little boy came to give me a double fist bump. I felt so, so welcomed by that. Remember I said these things didn't fit together? The Truth for Youth campaign and that story I just told you, that how I just loved spending time with those children. It occurred to me this. The little boy offered to carry my weight. He was thinking outside of himself. He was seeking to serve and not be served. He was concerned that I had not eaten and would not eat. So he sought to feed me. He was concerned that the work his mom was making me do was hard. So he encouraged me. Little girl, encouraging her brother, though he's rambunctious and sometimes it's hard, acknowledging the hard work her mom, quote, made me do, that I paid her to teach me to do. These children grew up in the Word of God. There are children in this country who've never held a Bible in their hands. Will you please change that today? Buy one Bible, or 10 if you can, and they'll be distributed child to child, young adult to young adult, the most potent way that we can spread the Word of God among kids. Please go to tfy.org, that's tfy.org, or call 844-530-8890. And have more kids raised so they think outside themselves, so they're ready to offer help like that. I don't know if I'll ever have an opportunity again to work out with those kids. It was happenstantial. But I can tell you this. What God has shown me in the way of the love of hard work and hard physical work actually has me leaning into buying that gym. Why? So that I can bring young men in whenever I want. Young men who are told that their masculinity is an issue. So I can show them how to steer it and speak to them of God while I grind them at a CrossFit workout. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God grants us the chance to speak again together. May His peace that transcends all understanding wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been a Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.